Chapter 13, Acts chapter 13, and just have a simple Bible study today. I hope and trust that everybody here has trusted Christ as your Savior. If you haven't, let me tell you something, there's nothing that you need to do for God to save you. When we talk about salvation, we're talking about being saved from His wrath. And someday, mankind will face the wrath of Almighty God. Psalms 2 says He's going to speak to them in His wrath. People got the idea that God sits up there and He's like some big Santa Claus just to give them what they want and loves everybody. And He does. He does love you. And He proved that love in AD 33 when He gave His Son to die on a cross for you. And His Son died for your sins, and your sins is not the problem today. People don't go to be cast into the lake of fire because they're bad. Let me tell you, when God saved you, still bad. But we're saved from His wrath. God will never judge us. God will never turn His back upon us. Why? Because of what Christ did for us. He did all that. He judged His Son. He poured His wrath out on His Son. When His Son was hanging on that cross between heaven and hell, and there God Almighty took your sins and took you, a sinner, and put all of your ungodliness and your sinful thoughts and all of your fleshly deeds and put them on His Son, and His Son became what you are. And God judged Him, and His Son died. The wages of sin is death. And Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He had no sin. He never sinned in His lifetime. He walked a perfect life on this earth. He never had an evil thought. He never said anything that He wasn't supposed to say. He never slipped up, made a mistake. He was the perfect Son of Almighty God, and He pleased the Father, and He went to a cross, and He died a death of a sinner. It wasn't His sin He died for. It was everybody's sin that's in this room. All you young people, the old people, and everybody else, He died for your sins. And God judged Him there. And He was buried. And on the third day, God wiped the slate clean to raise up His Son out of the ground. If one sin had been left unforgiven, that one sin, the payment for that one sin would have been death. He couldn't have raised Him up. It's the faith of Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God will save anybody, anywhere, anytime, if you'll trust Him, believing that He died for your sins. Now, so if you're not saved, you don't know that you're not saved, why don't you trust Him right now? Why don't you just turn it over to Him? Lord, I don't want you to ever be mad at me. He's not mad at you now. He's not going to send His wrath on you now. He's offering you eternal life through Jesus Christ. What a Savior. If I wasn't saved, didn't know that I wasn't saved, I'd be man. I don't see how you can walk around one day and not know that you've been saved by the grace of God. You see, one of these days, people's got the idea that they'll never die, even though they say they're going to die, but that's always way in the future. I'm talking about people that's real close, is always way in the future. You talk to them. Well, you don't know how far it is, but you know something else? This could be the day that the dispensation of grace ends. This could be the day that Jesus Christ comes for the body of Christ. And if you're not saved and in that body, it ain't got nothing to do with your death. It's got to do with you going through that wrath that He's trying to save you from now. And it ain't going to be no fun and games and some adventures and we can overcome and you can have all of the doomsday preps that you want and have all your stuff underground and have gallons of water. Not going to help you. Have all the ammunition you can go, have all the food, not going to help you. You see, you, just like I take that flyer and take it in my hands and just shake the daylights out of it. That's what God's going to do to the earth. Now, what's your structure going to be like? What about how you going to dodge them lightning bolts? You know, the Lord don't miss. How you going to get by them 120-pound hailstones falling out of the sky? Wiping out everything. Say, oh, that's symbolic. No, it's not. How are you going to do that? How are you going to see your children coming up to you, Mommy, Daddy, I'm hungry. Well, I can't buy or sell. You take the mark, what? As Barney Fife always said, Bluey, the goat, man, you're gone. That stuff's a-coming. And it's going to affect the whole world. It's going to cause the mighty men, the great warriors, the ones that undefeat anything, to crawl in a hole in a mountain somewhere and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth in the heavens. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you? I don't have to worry about that because Jesus Christ bore the wrath for me. If you're not saved, then I trust you. Think about it. Trust Christ as your Savior. Just receive Him and turn it over to Him and He'll save you. Acts chapter 13, and I guess, Robbie, you probably done fired it up, haven't you? Too late now. He's sitting over here just shaking his head. You see, I'm not much on this. I got a lot to learn about, as Abby said when she was little, she's going to get me for saying it. Her mama was taking camera video of, I guess it was when Luke was brought home. Abby looks up and said, "What are you doing, video cameraing?" So, I got a lot to learn about that. Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, I want you to notice Paul's ministry. In Acts chapter 13, notice in verse, I'm just going to begin in verse 14. Acts 13, 14. And when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, "Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hand, and said, "Ye men of Israel," now notice who's in there, "and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers," and he begins to tell about them. I want you to come down to verse 26 now. "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." Who was it sent to? Why was Paul going into the apostle of the Gentiles, going into synagogue of the Jews, preaching them Christ, the gospel of Christest? He was sent there, was he not? Isn't that what it says? "To you is the word of this salvation sent." Notice over in China, come on down with me, let's go to verse, let's see. He goes back in there, he's preaching again, verse 33. "And God fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. And it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David." Now what is the sure mercies of David that he's talking to these people in the synagogues, and ones that fear God, the stock of Israel, Israel, those that fear God, and he's telling them about the sure mercies of David. What is the sure mercies of David that he would be talking about? Well, hang on to Acts there and come over to Romans. And notice in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. In Romans chapter 4, and notice in verse, I can't read it in, let's see, let me get there first. I don't see my verses here. Yeah, okay, verse 6. But I'm going to go back and read verse 4, Romans 4:4. "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without work, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." That's what Paul's preaching in them synagogues, of the sure mercies of David. You see, David committed two sins that there is no sacrifice for. He looked upon Bathsheba, he committed adultery with her, and then he had Uriah, her husband, killed. He committed murder. There is no sacrifice for them sins under the law. Under the law, you commit those sins, you die. You're took out, you're stoned, your punishment is death. David should have died, but God had mercy on him, and God didn't impute those sins unto him. Paul uses that, and he's preaching in these synagogues the sure mercies of David. Come down to verse 37, and back in Acts 13. In Acts verse 37, but he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Paul's saying that just as people in Judea, they didn't believe what was given unto them. If you don't believe this, you don't accept this, look what's going to happen. He said, verse 40, beware therefore lest come upon you that which is spoken of in the prophets. And he goes on, and the despisers wandered and perished, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. That's a quotation in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. And Paul, in other words, he said, just like they rejected it, and there was no salvation for them, Paul's saying to these people in the synagogue, you reject this message and the sure mercies of David, you're not going to have the salvation. You're not going to get it. Salvation, he's sent unto them. He's preaching the gospel of Christ. Look back over in Romans chapter 1. You say, well, why is that so important? Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Romans chapter 1, in verse 14. I am a debtor, he owes them, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul's going after him. It's to the Jew first. This salvation, God saved the Apostle Paul. He's the apostle to the Gentiles. He gave him a message of grace. He gave him how men is going to be forgiven. He gave him the revelation of the cross, and that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that God raised him the third day for our justification. Who does he go tell first? To the Jew first. He sent to the Jew first, and those Gentiles that's in the synagogue, they have blessed the seed of Abraham, and God blesses them by letting them have the door of salvation first open unto them. Say, now that's fair. So Paul goes in the synagogue, and you have Galatians, and then you have the Corinthians, let me just put that, and then you have Thessalonians. And he writes Romans. All right, what did I leave out? Anything? Isn't it Galatians, Corinthians? What's the matter? Did I do something wrong? Look with me. Come over back in Acts. Notice in Acts. Well, chapter 14, Acts chapter 14. I tell you what, look back in 13, verse 42, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next day. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Come over to verse 46. Then Paul, someone blasphemed, verse 45, the Jews did. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. All right, first should be spoken to you. It was necessary. Verse down there, verse chapter 14, in verse 1, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude of the Jews and also the Greeks believed. Now, Paul's not going into these synagogues preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Paul's not going in there preaching what Peter and them preaching, the gospel of the circumcision. Paul's going in there preaching them the gospel of Christ, the good news that Christ had died for their sins. Paul's going in there. Why? It's the power of God and the salvation. There are some Israelites, Jews in there, and some Gentiles in there that God knew that would believe the message and that they would be saved. And when they got saved, they became what? A part of what? Body of Christ. So you got Galatians, you got the Corinthians, they're involved in that. Come over with me, look down and go to verse, let's just go on. My time is going on. Look in chapter, 17. Chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphilius and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where it was a synagogue of the Jews. Jew first. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, 3 days a reason with them out of the scripture, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, that this Jesus whom I preached unto you is Christ. Come into verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. They're going into the synagogue. These were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. What was he preaching to them? Well, he's preaching the gospel of Christ. He's preaching them how to get forgiveness of sins. Look down with me in verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached unto Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. They sent him away again, and he's always a preaching. Come to chapter 18, and because he was of the same craft, talking about Priscilla and Aquila, he says there, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Now, folks, you get now. He done wrote Galatians. He writes Romans somewhere around Rome. Getting close. He done writing books. You want to know what he's preaching? Read the books. What's he talking about in Galatians? He's talking about having received the Spirit through the works of the law, through the flesh, or by the Spirit. He's talking about how you fall from grace in Galatians. You read Thessalonians. You read all of these books. You find out what Paul believes in these time periods here. There's the body of Christ. He's the first into that body. He goes into the synagogue. People get saved in that synagogue. They're baptized by one spirit. For instance, come with the Galatians. Let's look at something. Y'all get the idea of this thing. I'll tell you what. Let's start with Romans. In Romans, notice in chapter 12, chapter 6, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 6. In verse 3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, but henceforth we should not serve sin. Come over to chapter 3, you find out what he's believing here. He writes Romans somewhere around Acts 20 in there. I mean, we're up there in Acts 18, 17, and 18. Look in Galatians. Go to chapter 12, first of Romans. In chapter 12, notice what he says there. I just got to jump in here. Verse 4. For as we have many members in how many bodies? One body. All members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, every one members one of another. Come to look in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he writes 1 Corinthians, somewhere around Acts 18. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 12, for as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one body. Is he preaching the one bodiness there? Sure is. One baptism there. Come over with me to Galatians. Look in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Notice in verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Then if you're in Christ Jesus, are you in the body of Christ? Well, yes, you are. All I want you to see is what Paul's preaching in this Acts period, what he knows about. And so, I want you to go back to Acts and look in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, there is a question in verse 1. He said, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they disputed them against them, argued with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and ruler and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem under the apostles and elders about this question. They came down from them people up there, so they're going up there with them. So they go back up there. And notice what happens here. And notice Paul, when Peter rises up, verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear of the gospel and believe. Now folks, that gospel and believe to the Gentiles was to Cornelius, and you can't show me where Peter preached what Paul preached about forgiveness of sins, that Christ died for their sins in Acts chapter 10. The gospel of he's talking about and the people's salvation is the Israel. And God which knoweth the heart. Paul didn't say that. Look what verse 11. He said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. Huh? Does that denote something in the future? Shall be saved, even as they. We're going to be saved like they. We shall be saved like they. Well, who's the they? Who else is up there? Peter and I is up there with Paul and Barnabas. They're up there and they're there as the members of the body of Christ. Folks, there ain't no doubt about it. There's two programs going on. There's two messages being preached. Christ is the foundation of both of them, and both of them have to do with his death. But one is that Christ died for your sins. And they're all forgiven. There's a group there and there that's sealed with that Holy Spirit. But come on. Now notice what happens. James talked, notice what he said, verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon, he don't even mention Paul. Simon hath declared how that God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agreed the words of the prophet, as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. He quotes Amos chapter 9 verses 11 and 12. And the Amos chapter 9 verses 11 and 12 have to do with the kingdom. In the kingdom, that message of Peter, in the kingdom, the Gentiles will believe. And the Shema and the tabernacle of David, which is the kingdom, will be established. They're dealing with the kingdom all the way. That's why they do what they do. Verse 19, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, are turned to him. But that we write unto them that they should abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication, from things strangled, from blood. For Moses in old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. And that's where them Gentiles would have been with Paul. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to see him chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, and Barsimus, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard, and it goes on and out. Come down with me, verse 30. Talking about abstaining, verse 29 from meats and all this. Verse 30. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. Did they read it? Yeah, they did. Verse 31. Which when they had read, they rejoiced for consolation. All right, they have this epistle that's read to them, wrote to them. Stained from blood, things strangled. Is that ordinances? I would think so, wouldn't it you? He takes it. I turn to Ephesians. So I got the body of Christ here. I got the gospel of Christ that Paul's preaching. And the gospel of Christ is the same gospel from Paul. Let's say Paul started it there, and it goes all the way across. And here, let's say the rapture takes place. So this thing goes all the way across until the rapture. Fascinating. One message. Power of God. What is that message? That Christ died for your sins and was buried, and God raised Him. Simple as that. When we say believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're saying believe this message that He did it for you. It's personal. It's not just so, I believe it. Like George Washington is the first president. I go around the room, I say, who's the first president of the United States? Most of you say, well, George Washington. You believe that? Yeah, I believe that. His picture's on the $1 bill. You have no reason to believe it. You just believe it. Nobody in here has ever seen Him. Nobody in here has ever talked to Him. Frankly, I don't want to see nobody who's ever seen Him or talked to Him. Well, he'd be a loon. No reason to believe that whatsoever. Well, we have history book. We have a book. He wrote it down. Man wrote it down. George Washington, first president. But folks, Jesus Christ, just don't believe it like that, like you believe George Washington's the first president. Believe it with a reason to believe it. I'm a sinner. I'm going to the lake of fire. I'm going to have the wrath of God on me. I believe He took the wrath of God. I'm putting my trust in Him. Personally. Do that. I look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first, notice the first, trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted. Well, who are the first to trust in Christ? Would be Paul included himself, didn't he? Well, when did Paul put his trust in Christ? In Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus. Then he what? He goes into the synagogues, don't he? And he preaches in there, and there are Jews in there, and Gentiles that feared God, and proselytes. They're in there, and he's preaching. Why? Because to them was the word of this salvation sent, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And he writes unto them. And there are things in here that's hard to be understood. Now look, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Come over to chapter 2. In chapter 2, notice in verse I'm just going to cut in. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Verse 11, wherefore, remember, don't forget it, and you shouldn't forget it in here. You should never forget these next verses. But people in the body of Christ have forgot them. They forgot what all took place, and they can't understand their Bible because of it. He said, wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh. Well, when is time past? When would time past be? It'd be in their lifetime, wouldn't it? Well, in their lifetime, would that be back in the book of Acts? When Paul's going into the synagogue and he's going to the Jew first over here, the first ones that trusted Christ. How about those Ephesians? Would that be their time past? They're not in there. Could they go into the synagogue? They wouldn't even be allowed in there. If one come up to Paul, and Paul was out there, and he heard Paul talking, and he come up to him, and he says, I believe what you said. Of course Paul would lead him to Christ. Paul would preach him the gospel of Christ. But Paul was not going unto him. He was going to those Israelites and Jews in them synagogues and those Gentiles in there that had blessed the seed of Abraham. You had never blessed the seed of Abraham. You don't even know what is the seed of Abraham. Not every Jew is an Israelite. I'm just like Robbie was talking. You know, Abraham had how many sons? He had two. Ishmael. And Isaac. How many sons did Isaac have? You're afraid to say, ain't you? When it calls it Old Testament to some of you, it really is old, because you never go back there, do you? He had two. Jacob. And who? Esau. Was Esau of the seed of Isaac? Yep. Was Abraham Esau's granddad? Yep. Abraham was a Hebrew? Yep. Genesis 14. They went out and had children. Esau had children. Ishmael had children. But Jacob's name was changed. Had the 12 sons, became Israel. And God sent Paul first to them. Now look at these Ephesians. These Ephesians is just like you and me. You don't know. I don't know the lineage of somebody come up to me and say, well, I'm an Israelite. Well, what tribe are you from? I guarantee. I asked one day. We was down there in the parking lot talking. He said he was a Jew. I said, is that right? He said, yeah, I'm an Israelite. I said, well, what tribe are you from? What? I said, you're an Israelite, right? Yes. Tell me, what tribe are you from? He thought I was being prejudiced. He thought I was breaking. I said, there are 12 tribes of Israel. Which one? Oh, I don't go in for that religious stuff. They don't even know. How can you know to bless the seed of Abraham when you don't even know who the seed of Abraham is? Look what he said, verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past, That'd cover the Acts period. Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time passed, that ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Now, why were they without Christ? It's all right to talk back to me. Why was these Ephesians without Christ? Because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. They wasn't an ally with Israel. They wasn't a part of Israel. They was not blessing Israel. They was having nothing to do with Israel. So they was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And without any hope. They didn't have the hope that you have today. You have the hope sitting in this congregation. Anybody in here has the hope of having eternal life by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for you. And receiving that. But look here. He said that at that time, having no hope without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. Okay, we got both. We got another both. What's both mean? It means more than one, right? It means two. We got a different group. We got them that first trusted, in whom ye also trusted. Look what He said. Both one hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Heaven, tell me, what's the middle wall partition? What is He talking about between us? Well, I just read it to you. You see, this group back here has some ordinances. Stuff that they had to do and not do. This group over here, they'd eat anything that didn't eat them. And they didn't care about all that. Verse 15, having abolished between us the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself twain one new man, so making peace. So there should be peace in this body. So what is that middle law? Well, it has to do with keeping the law. It has to do with the ordinances of Acts 15, the epistle that they took. And see, in order to have peace, He had to move all them. Because these over here that would have kept the ordinances and was trying to keep some of the law, like the Galatians and all that, they would look down on the Ephesians that didn't even know what the law was, just like it is today. You got this crowd running around here, and because they wear their dresses, and they wear certain clothes, and they wear long sleeves, and they don't go, and they don't kick the cat, and they don't walk on the grass, and they don't go to the movies, and they don't do all of this other stuff that they call sin. They look down on people that does, and they feel like they're more closer to God. You know I'm telling you right. When in the body of Christ, there's neither male nor female, we're all equal in that body. We all got there the same way. We all, Jesus Christ paid for our sins. We believed on Him. We trusted the gospel. And He saved us and put us in that body. And there ought to be peace in that body. And there ain't no big eyes and little U's. There ain't nobody more holy than somebody else. I listened to a man. Now you listen to me and I'm going to close. I listened to a man this morning for 30 minutes and I was trying to give him the benefit of a doubt. And you can ask my wife back there. I sat there and I listened to this guy preacher. And this guy used a lot of truth. But he not one time ever preached the truth. He quoted Galatians 2:20, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. And he stopped and he said, that faith there is that great body of truth about Jesus Christ. Well, that faith there is the faith of Christ. Him being a sinner that you are on that cross, believing the Father is going to give him eternal life. People today don't compare Scripture with Scripture. Now look with me again. He said in verse 15, abolished in his flesh the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain. Twain is how many? Two. One new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that nigh. Them that nigh would be them. These, the second group would be the ones that's afar off. Now notice, and I'm just going to close. And he said, we were built, we have a temple, verse 21, verse chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner, Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3 is verse 6, that the Gentiles, when he's saying the Gentiles, he's not saying the Gentiles is in the synagogue, he's saying the Gentiles that was out there that don't even know about Israel, that don't even know about the law, they're the ones that I'm sent to now. And I was given grace, and it's a dispensation of grace, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. One body now, and you have the Ephesians, you have the Philippians, and you have the Colossians. And we live in what is called the dispensation of the grace of God. And folks, people say you're Acts 28 or and all that stuff, but in Acts 28, Paul said, I turn to the Gentiles. In Acts 22, he said, God has sent me unto the Gentiles, and the Jews threw dust in the air. In Acts 13, he was sent into the synagogues. Acts 22, God sent him to the Gentiles. They threw dust in the air. You see, what made him so mad was Paul saying, now God is going to save people that despised us. That goes against the covenants of promise. That goes against what Abraham, God had promised Abraham, that whosoever blesses you shall be blessed. He that curses you shall be accursed. You're saying you're going to people and God's going to now save people that cursed our seed? That's contradictory to what we've always believed. And Paul went. And that's why he suffered for the church. Wherefore, remember who you are. And you'll suffer if you preach it. All right, I took a little long, but you got to realize.